Hear the word of God as it is written in John chapter 9. This can be found on page 818 of the Pew Bible. Jesus heals a man born blind. John chapter 9, reading from verse 1. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. Then he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said he was, and others said, no, he just looks like him. But the beggar kept saying, yes, I am the same one. They asked, who healed you? What happened? He told them, the man they called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed, and now I can see. Where is he now? They asked. I don't know, he replied. Then they took the man who had been blind to the Pharisees, because it was on the Sabbath that Jesus had made the mud and healed him. The Pharisees asked the man all about it. So he told them, he put the mud over my eyes, and when I washed it away, I could see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man Jesus is not from God, for he is working on the Sabbath. Others said, but how could an ordinary sinner do such miraculous signs? There was a deep division of opinion among them. Then the Pharisees again questioned the man who had been blind and demanded, what's your opinion about this man who healed you? The man replied, I think he must be a prophet. The Jewish leader still refused to believe the man had been blind and could now see. So they called in his parents. They asked them, is this your son? Was he born blind? If so, how can he now see? His parents replied, we know this is our son and that he was born blind, but we don't know how he can see or who healed him. Ask him, he is old enough to speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had announced that anyone saying Jesus was the Messiah could be expelled from the synagogue. That's why they said, he is old enough, ask him. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and told him, God should get the glory for this, because we know this man, Jesus, is a sinner. I don't know whether he is a sinner, the man replied, but I know this. I was blind, and now I can see. But what did he do? They asked. How did he heal you? Look, the man explained, I told you once, didn't you listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they cursed him and said, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know God spoke to Moses, but we don't even know where this man comes from. Why, that's very strange, the man replied. He healed my eyes, and yet you don't know where he comes from. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Ever since the world began, no one has been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it. "You were born a total sinner," they answered. "Are you trying to teach us?" And they threw him out of the synagogue. To God be the glory and praise in the reading of his word. Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. I'd like to begin by showing you another advert from the Dirt is Good campaign.
I didn't know what freedom was until it was taken from me. It's devastating. I've had who I am inside stripped away. You can never escape the walls. You can never escape your mind. Then imagine they open your door. You have time to walk out that door and feel the sun on your face. It's everything to me.
My daily outdoors time, I think that's probably the most important part of my day.
Take all the frustrations and all your problems and just leave them out there.
Keeps my mind right, keeps my body strong.
It's pretty much the highlight of my day.
So, how would you feel if your yard time was reduced to just 1 hour a day?
Yeah. What am I supposed to tell you how I feel about that?
I'm gonna feel pretty sad about it.
I think that's gonna build more anger, more, it's not gonna be a good thing.
Would be torture.
I think cutting the offender's outside time to 1 hour a day is potentially disastrous.
Well, do you know who does have only 1 hour outdoors per day? Children.
Wow.
That's depressing.
I don't even know what to say to that.
Something has gone very wrong.
Even as I was sitting here and as a prisoner, I mean, yeah, that's not good.
If you don't have to throw the kids in the bathtub, they haven't played hard enough.
Climb a tree, break a leg. You know, that's part of life.
Learn to be a kid.
So, if you could have one wish, what would it be?
I wish I could take my kid to a park today.
A powerful message delivered by prisoners locked in the darkness of their prisons and only allowed into the sunshine for 2 hours a day. One prisoner said he never knew what freedom was until it was taken away from him. In our gospel reading, we heard that Jesus healed a man blind from birth. What do you think would be worse, to be born blind or to have your sight and then later lose it? Probably there's a mixed response. To be able to see just for a while may be on the wish list of those who have never seen. But it may be that to live without something you have never had is better than to live without something you once had and now miss. In a very real sense, the blind man never knew he was blind until his blindness was taken away from him. For only by experiencing sight did he fully appreciate what it meant to live without it. To understand the sign that the gospel writer John is showing us in this miracle, we need to understand a bit of the background to the story. 200 odd years earlier, in the year 167 BC, the Syrian king Antiochus IV issued a proclamation banning sacrifices in the Jewish temples. The people of Jerusalem, under the leadership of Matthias, revolted and fled into the desert. Their hiding place was soon discovered, and the pursuing soldiers demanded that the Jews repent and surrender. They refused to do both, but they also refused to fight because they were discovered on the Sabbath day. So they didn't block the entrances to their hiding places or resist the Syrians in any way. And approximately 1,000 men, women, and children died without resistance because they believed the Sabbath was sacred. Although this event happened nearly 2 centuries before the healing of the blind man in John chapter 9, it does give us a feel for the intensity of the conviction of a devout Jew that the Sabbath should not be broken. And the intervening years between the days of Matthias and Christ did not weaken this conviction, but in fact strengthened it. And the sect which especially set out to protect the Sabbath was the Pharisees. In the light of any pagan forces at work and to corrupt the purity of the Jewish faith, the Pharisees took upon themselves the task of keeping Judaism pure of foreign and pagan influence. Initially devout and well motivated, this sect became more and more rigid and legalistic. The central issue for the Pharisees was the preservation of the Sabbath, and they succeeded in turning the day of rest into a burden rather than a blessing. Things like ploughing and digging were prohibited on the Sabbath day. Dragging a chair on the ground would make a furrow and therefore was forbidden. But dragging a chair on a hard floor was permitted. You could not carry a load, like the bed mat that Jesus told the paralyzed man he healed to pick up and carry, a miracle we have already looked at and which also happened on the Sabbath day. A tailor had to leave his needle and thread at home, and a scribe could not carry his pen. Those who were skilled in the law were also skilled in devising ways to circumvent most of the meticulous rules which they had introduced. Worst of all, these traditions of the Pharisees were so intertwined with Old Testament law that to violate these traditions was viewed as breaking the law of God. Such was the backdrop for the healing of the blind man. Jesus was in a hurry that day. As best we can tell, for just prior to this event, in the previous chapter of John, chapter 8, and you can read that in your own time, the Lord was involved in a major, serious confrontation with the Jewish religious leaders. Jesus made bold claims about himself and about his relationship with his Father in heaven. He claimed to be one with his Father. He claimed to be greater than Abraham. He said that the religious leaders were sons of the devil. And he said that he knew Abraham before he was born because he was the one called I Am. A divine title that so upset the Pharisees that began to pick up stones so that they could stone Jesus for blasphemy. But Jesus was hidden from them and he left the temple. So Jesus wasn't exactly relaxed. He wasn't exactly available for a lot of heavy counseling at the particular moment that he meets a man who had been blind from birth. Jesus approaches the man. He didn't engage him in prolonged discussion. He didn't ask him questions as far as we know. He did not tell the man to follow him and become his disciple. He did not discuss the man's past or his sins. He didn't tell him, like Nicodemus, that he had to be born again. He simply made a little poultice out of damp clay, following an ancient custom, and applied it to the man's eyes and told him to wash them in the nearby pool of Siloam. And there was something about his words that convinced this blind beggar to do what Jesus told him to do. Jesus moved on. He didn't wait to see the outcome of his actions. But later on, when Jesus found out that the Jewish leaders had thrown the man out of the synagogue, Jesus sought this man out and talked to him about who he was And the man worshipped Jesus and became a convinced disciple. What did the disciples see in this miracle that they witnessed? They focused on the condition of the blind man before he was healed. All their lives they had wondered about the age-old problem of suffering. If God is a good God and all-powerful, why on earth would God allow a person to be struck down with such a problem? It was easy enough to understand if this person had been some despicable person. He would deserve to be punished. But this poor fellow was totally blind from the very beginning. When he came out of his mother's womb, he couldn't see. And he had lived in total darkness from that day on. And so the disciples raised this question to their teacher. And how did Jesus respond? Jesus could have explained that although God is perfectly good and all-powerful, this world in which we live, which he made, has been corrupted by man's sin. It's a fallen, broken world in which there are some lovely people, but also some and many selfish and harmful people, and in which there are millions of types of dangerous bacteria and viruses. And all these forces are at work to make this a very dangerous environment in which all people, evil or wonderful, are equally at risk, and no one is safe from danger. He himself, God's own son, was soon to be murdered. Jesus could have explained that yes, there are some situations in which sin of the parent brings pain or grief or sickness on a child. And we certainly see this in the case of children of alcoholics or drug addicts, or in instances where children suffer blindness or worse because of a parent infected with a venereal disease. Jesus could have gone into all that. He could have preached a sermon that it would have gone down in history as the most penetrating analysis of the problem of pain ever given. He was, after all, the Son of God, and he knew all the answers. But Jesus did not come to give all the answers. He came to ask us questions and to give us signs that will lead us to the answers. The disciples were more concerned with the question about past sins than to see the wonder of the miracle that they witnessed. And the Pharisees, well, they weren't bothered about the past sins. They were focused on the fact that the miracle was performed on the Sabbath day. How could he? Everyone was looking in the wrong direction. Everyone apart from the man who was born blind. He proclaimed the glory belonged to Jesus when questioned by the Pharisees. When his parents were questioned, they refused to answer the Pharisees because they were worried about being flung out of the synagogue. It's not as if they could have gone down to the synagogue down the road. There wasn't one. This was the synagogue. And so they say, ask our son yourselves. So the Pharisees call back this once blind man and tell him to give God the glory and to call Jesus a sinner. But the man stays loyal to the one who healed him, arguing that ever since the world began, no one has been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. If Jesus were not from God, he couldn't have done it. And the Pharisees cast him out, excommunicating the guy. You're no longer welcome in this synagogue. Jesus hears this, and he meets up with the guy and introduces himself. I am the Son of God. And the guy believes him. This is the turning point. This is the point we all need to get to. This is the point that the man who was formerly blind sees with his heart, not just with his eyes. Before he really knew Jesus, he did the best he could on his own understanding before the religious leaders and testified about what Jesus did. But when he met Jesus, when he saw Jesus with his heart, he began to worship Jesus for whom he was, not just for what he did. It's a sign that Jesus is the Son of God and that Jesus is God. It's a sign that you can't see with your eyes, a sign that you can't see with your head. It's a sign you can only see with your heart. It's a sign that we are all born spiritually blind into this broken world. And the only way we can ever see the truth of that statement is by looking to Jesus. For he is the light of the world, and only he can lead us out of its darkness. For his name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, this world is a broken world, full of sin, full of pain. But there are moments in this world where your light shines through, where we see the joy and the laughter. We see the light of the world. Lord, help us when we live in darkness. Help us to reach out to you and to search for you. And then by finding you, to realize the darkness we had been in, and then to give you the praise and the glory. For only you can bring us out of that darkness. Only you can save us from our own sin. This we pray in your mighty name. Amen.